tweet at TodaySOR.
Now, with some advice on eating and drinking healthily, I'm joined by our regular dietitian, Louise Reynolds, from the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. And also on the line is Professor Frank Murray, liver specialist and former president of the Royal College of Physicians. Morning to you both. Louise, what advice would you have for people to help them avoid developing bad habits at this time?
Good morning, Sean. Well, yes, it's certainly a lot of people. Everybody is finding themselves in a different situation at the moment. And certainly if you're working from home, your routine has totally changed. If people have their children at home and are trying to homeschool and feed everybody, certainly in terms of nutrition, things are different. I think in terms of, you know, there's a lot written at the moment on social media about people gaining weight at this time. I suppose that is one concern, but also there are a lot of people who maybe are going to be ill over the next few weeks. So at the same time, I feel we need to be eating well at this stage as well. So it's a matter of kind of getting the balance between not overeating, but at the same time looking after nutrition. I think that's really, really important to state. I think if you're working from home, the big thing is routine. And I know, you know, when you're very close to the kitchen now, maybe it's easier to keep popping in, opening the fridge, kind of putting on the kettle, and you might end up with too much caffeine, too many snacks. And again, with children at home, you know, a lot of people are saying that the children are permanently in the kitchen. So I think, firstly, routine, trying to get up, get dressed in the morning as if you were going to work, and, you know, having a designated working area. And then kind of sticking to a break time, trying to have three meals and maybe two snacks in the day, and sticking to that a little bit more than just if you're at home on a Saturday when you're kind of everyone's wandering in and out of the kitchen. Easier said than done, I know.
Yeah, and I suppose grazing is an easy thing to let happen. To what extent do people tend to overeat when they're bored?
I think a huge amount. And a lot of people also overeat if they're stressed. You know, some people are comfort eaters. If people are worrying, they may be eating a little bit more. And again, there's the whole issue of, you know, what you keep in the house. So, you know, try and eat well at this stage. Now, I think it's also important to point out that there's no one food or no one supplement that can automatically boost your immune system spectacularly or that can protect us from COVID-19. And obviously, if there was one way of doing that, you know, wouldn't that be great? But there isn't. So what we're talking about is not, you know, a special diet that's going to help to, you know, prevent any illness. What we're talking about really is trying to eat well. And the same healthy eating guidelines, Sean, that we've spoken about a lot, and it's a matter of having the right foods in the house. So, you know, if you're snacking on yogurt, on fruit, on nutritious foods, rather than kind of reaching for the packet of biscuits. Again, of course, now that we're not going to the supermarket so often, it's important to stock up and have your store cupboard well stocked with good foods and nutritious foods. And again, we have to be aware of food safety and perishability. So, you know, using your fridge properly at this time is important. And particularly when I listened to Evelyn's report just now, you know, for people living on their own, people who are socially isolated, and that obviously is a lot more people now because we are, you know, we have to stay home, and certainly older people on their own may be less, you know, able to get to the shops or not able to stock up on fresh foods. So do check in on neighbours as well. And just, I have a lot of information I've just popped up on our website, Sean, on indi.ie on our homepage. So if anybody wants to have a little look, because there's a lot of information here. There are people who are trying to maintain a healthy weight, people who maybe are at risk of malnutrition, you know, people then feeding children. There's a huge amount of different kind of, you know, situations out there. And
sure.
I think the important thing is just to have a routine and try and eat well as best you can. Protein is very important too, as well. And I would certainly, for older people listening, try and have a small amount of protein. That's really important to help to prevent malnutrition. And if someone does become ill, you know, your reserves of nutrition are really what are going to be very important, you know, to keep you going. So do keep an eye on having protein. That would be eggs, yogurt, cheese, lean meats, things like peas and beans and lentils, which are great to have in the cupboard and throw them into soups and stews and
indeed
casseroles.
Rashers and eggs. If we had rashers, we could have rashers and eggs. If we had eggs, a big run on the eggs
I
these
think
times.
A run on the eggs, all right, Sean.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll
listen, INDI. That's the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. INDI.ie. Professor Frank Murray, liver specialist, is on the line as well. Frank, I suppose a lot of the images we've seen of recent times, people stocking up not just on the eggs or on the flour or toilet paper, people stocking up on alcohol as well.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think there's been a lot of stockpiling of all kinds of products, John. And thank you for having me on the show this morning. And I would discourage people, I'd urge people really not to stockpile supplies of alcohol. In fact, quite a useful strategy in terms of reducing our alcohol consumption is not to buy it or to buy less. So the buying of alcohol is a crucial step that we should be very careful about. And I would encourage people really during this very difficult time. And it was very interesting and sad listening to Evelyn's report there. People are really suffering from social isolation and loneliness and worry about themselves and their family and their friends and their posts and their jobs. So, you know, it's a very stressful time for people, and I would encourage them not to turn to alcohol in a situation like this, because alcohol is not a solution to stress or anxiety or depression.
But I suppose, Frank, people will tend occasionally to deal with stress and anxiety by maybe opening a bottle of wine. They don't have the social outlet of going to the pubs at the moment.
Yes, and I recognise that. And I mean, what I would encourage people to do is to drink within the low-risk limits. And just to state what they are, Sean, in Ireland, they're less than 11 units of standard drinks per week for women and less than 17 for men. A recommendation not to drink more than 2 standard drinks a day, and to have 2 or 3 alcohol-free days per week, and also finally to avoid, you know, what we would call binge drinking, in other words, using more than 6 units in a day. And if you remember those 4 points, I think people will get pretty far in this very stressful situation that people are in.
Yeah, and I suppose if they start drinking at home where they hadn't been doing it before, they don't have to worry about, you know, keeping within the limit or whatever.
Yes, yeah. I mean, a lot of the, I mean,
at least they might think that.
Yeah, home drinking is probably more dangerous than drinking in a pub, because a lot of the controls around drinking in a pub or restaurant aren't there. And as you say, people aren't getting into their cars. And Irish people, to be fair, are very good about avoiding drink driving, and much better than in many other jurisdictions. So I think people, it is useful for people to just remember that a lot of the controls are off now, and to be a bit more careful. And the point you made about stockpiling earlier on is a very good point. I mean, I think people should be very careful what they buy in terms of alcohol.
Yeah, and just to come back to you, Louise Reynolds, again, dietitian, I'd imagine there must be a fair bit of misinformation or misunderstanding about what will and won't or mightn't protect us against the coronavirus, be it certain foods or drinks or indeed supplements.
That's right, Sean, there is. And I think that there seems to have been reports of supplements selling out as well. And, you know, we're trying to discourage people from stockpiling anything. But again, you know, there's no need to be stocking up on supplements, because they're the European Food Safety Authority. There is no one supplement that they have given, you know, any credence to in terms of preventing infection or increasing your immune system in one go. So certainly what I would say about supplements is the one thing that, again, elderly people may need to think about is vitamin D, because we've spoken about this before, Sean, and it is a difficult vitamin. It's the sunshine vitamin, so one that we get from the action of sunlight on our skin. So again, now that we're out less, and again, you know, at this time of the year, I know we are having nice weather, but still our you know, where we are in Ireland, it's a little bit more difficult to produce vitamin D, and certainly for elderly people who tend to be all covered up, and at the moment now, you know, are wearing gloves and covering their face if they do go out for a walk. So vitamin D is important. It's found in oily fish, so if you like sardines at home, or if you like herring or kippers, they're really good sources. Also, some milks now are fortified, and some yogurts and
right.
breakfast cereals. So just keep an eye on vitamin D, but there's no one supplement that people need to rush out and buy.
That's good to know. Louise Reynolds, dietitian, thank you, and thanks as well to Professor Frank Murray. Now, Shane Bergen is back on the line with his final Bergen Brainstorm of the Week. Shane, you've been setting a maths or a science quiz every day to keep the brains exercised at a time of isolation. You've got something slightly different this morning.
Yeah, and it kind of builds nicely on your last section there, Sean. And the question I have for listeners this morning is, why does hand sanitizer make your hands feel cold?
That's like something you get from the back of the car. bringing your kids somewhere. Why does hand sanitizer make your hands feel cold? Well, listen,
absolutely.
One for everybody to ponder for the next hour. I'm sure we get all sorts of explanation. You'll have the real one just coming up to 12. Shane, thank you so much indeed for joining us.